Various people have come to teach. They have taught a lot of good things through scriptures, and they have also related it to our various ministries. And I believe that we've been blessed, as the resident pastor have said earlier on, all the various pastors. But my role here this evening is not to teach. That is why when I was coming, I didn't bring my Bible. I'm not coming to teach, because the teachers are teaching. What a shock. The teachers are teaching. I have come to talk the practical way of the ministry. I've come to talk about certain practicality that you must put in place in church that will bring success, discipline, steady growth. People will appreciate the church, that you may grow, and also that your church may look like our church. That's the whole thing. Your church must look like our church. Because our church, by the grace of God, with all humility, many have come from far and near to copy so many things from this church. By the grace of God. People have gone to their churches and they've changed structures, they've changed their design, they've changed from wooden windows to glass windows, tile floors, so many things. And so if people have come from far to copy a few things from them, how about our branches? And during this time that I'll be speaking to you, you must tell yourself that I'm going to be a copycat. I've come to copy that which is working. Don't be in your village somewhere and develop your own ideology as to where the church should be, because it's not under the Spirit. If you are part of our brand, then copy us. Copy the way we do our things. Copy the way your pastors dress. Copy the way they have their protocol. Copy the way they carry the Bible. Copy the way they serve. Copy the same thing and you will grow like us. Oh, am I saying something here? Don't go and do something different from us. When we come to your church and we sit down, we can tell that this is CEM. Yeah, we must be able to say, I'm home, because I see few things that are being done back at headquarters. I see the same being practiced here. I remember one time I went to London, and then when I finished doing anointing service, and one of the people came to serve a little and did a few things, and it was so ad hoc. So I told the pastor, the way the people did the things, it's not proper at all. This is London, but the way they did it, in some way. So I think we have to improve. When I finished using the anointing, the one of the ladies went to the kitchen, went to the pastor's kitchen, took a paper towel, and then poured water in a plastic bowl, and came and stood behind me and said, "Pastor, do you want to wash your hands?" So what's this? what kind of approach is this? So within about an hour, I called a few sisters and I showed them the way they should do it and all that. Then Pastor Yesu went and preached in the church. He was telling me that when he got there and finished ministry and was anointed, when he finished using anointing oil, then the people approached him to wash his hands. The moment he saw the people, he said, Pastor Stanley has been here. Because he knows the way we do it back home here. And he saw the same thing. So you too, you must do the same thing. Amen? And I'm going to just share a few things with you within about an hour, and then we are out of this place. Amen? Now we want to talk about the service itself. The church service. First of all, it doesn't really matter where the people are located. If your people who are the executive members or who are leaders, pastors' wives and associate pastors, everybody must learn to dress well. It's very important. Very important. Everybody must dress well. Don't say that, well, we where we are located, well, whether you dress well or you don't dress well, well, it's the same thing. Don't have that spirit. You, the pastor, the associate, the pastor's wife, the other part, everybody must learn to dress well, comb your hair, wear tie. You don't have a tie, come to Accra, Tema Station, get a tie. We've all got ties and shoes and shirts and trousers and things from Tema Station. So we can appear well before the people. Appearance is very important before the people. I haven't come to open Bible and share scripture, so I've come to talk about practical things. So please pardon my session. Is that okay? So that you don't just take your suit from the floor, from somewhere, shake it and shake it and shake it, and then wait. You say you are going to church. What kind of pastor are you? Meanwhile, when you come to anytime you come on this compound during the weekday, Monday, Tuesday, we all of us are well dressed with tie and suit, working. So you on Sunday, by the time you hit church, you must be well dressed. This is the way your people are. This is the way your leaders are. They are always dressed. So associate, everybody must be. Anytime you see one of our associates that is not well dressed, and pastor, why are you dressed like this to church? Please. CEM, if you want to be a pastor and be working, you must learn how to dress well. Yeah. You must address your people to dress well. Somebody will not join the church because he heard your preaching, because he liked the way you are standing and dressed. It is not only the preaching that grows a church. I'm telling you, there are so many factors that affect the growth of a church. I'm telling you. Somebody can just decide there are people who have joined CM Church all because of worship. Some have joined the church because of protocol work. Because there's decency. When it's come, there's order. Like the way they are disciplined. Everything is being done in orderly manner. Some have joined the church because of the singing of the choir. Some joined the church because the sound is clear. I like the sound in the church. So he likes to come and listen to the sermon in a very powerful microphone with good speakers. So here you are doing church. You don't dress well. You don't have good choir. You don't have good sound. No, you are praying 8 hours. You don't have all these things. What a shock. So apart from the spiritual aspect, you have to look at these things. So, pastor, you know, one pastor was telling me that, pastor, we are as for us offering the highest is 500 Ghana cedis, sometimes 200 Ghana cedis, sometimes it's 150 Ghana cedis, sometimes 300 Ghana cedis. So we don't have money to buy all these big things. That go for loan, borrow money and get sound. Go and borrow money and get sound. If you take God and the Holy Spirit out of church, the next most important thing in church is not the pastor, it's the sound. Okay. Sound. Sound that when somebody stands and wants to lead worship or do a song or play an organ, that you can feel the anointing. As we're standing here right now, the organist came to play and I lifted us. Didn't you feel the anointing? Because of sound. Is it because of me? No, it's the sound. So if you want to do a church, then go look for money. Go find money, borrow anything, find collateral, any bank, and get sound in the church. I'm telling you, get sound. Make sure that you have a very, very good microphone. If you have one microphone and you have one very good speaker, not something that somebody has put together in the village. Now when they say, praise the Lord, it's like, brr, brr, I mean. Somebody nearby have come to church, and when they came to church, and then he's looking at you people for the first time. And then when somebody comes, hello, 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 hello. What's this? testing my hello, hello. I said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Ever Vama, make Ever Vama. What's all this kind of attitude? You have created a bad impression. You're already disqualified in his presence. Bad mic, bad speakers. Hello, he hasn't listened to the sermon. The start of the service alone have put him off. So he has told him that, I can't be part of this church. Right from the beginning. So after I have come to preach powerfully and you have wiped your sweat, he has told himself that the way they do things, I can't be part of this church. But when there's good sound and then good organ and there's powerful worship, and your sermon didn't go well, but because of the worship and the good sound, I like this church already. I'm telling you. So that's why your church is not growing. 3 years, you are not growing. You are 30, 33, 32, then drop to 22. That's come to 15. You are not progressing because even though you come well, but your equipment, your sound, the dressing, approach is not good enough. So renew your mind on the way the setting of the church is. It must be beautiful. Come to Accra, look for nice used carpets. You are meeting a nice shed, but put a carpet on the platform. Get a nice podium, one good speaker. Look, let everybody contribute. Go look for loan. Just one speaker from abroad that is sounding well, and a good mic and one good organ, you have a church. You have a church. So you don't need to pray 7 hours to grow a church. You need to find money and get equipment to get the church running. Then afterwards, you pray to grow the church when you have this in place. Amen? Am I saying something? Then also some of the personnel that attend to ministers and pastors. Like we have come, we have our overseer coming to your to visit your church, and then maybe he lands in the premises with the car and all that. First of all, when he landed, there was nobody to receive him. So he has to find out, where is the church? They said, I saw Ben Mariano. Now, the reason why they've pointed out to you is because there's no protocol waiting for the pastor. So it means you need one or two people to serve as protocol to communicate to your visiting pastor. MTN is everywhere. All you need is for them to just dress a little nice, and then welcome your pastor, and then just lead him a little in front. Collect his Bible, lead him in front. The moment he experienced such act, the anointing has increased on him already. And listen to me, you are not honoring the person, you are honoring the gift. I preach at so many places. I travel. I do convention. I do so many. And sometimes when I arrive at certain place, I get depressed. I feel that they didn't honor me well. They didn't place value on the anointing. Because when I arrived, I didn't find anybody. We have to ask people where the place is. When I got there too, there was nobody to receive you. When you got to a chair too, they didn't even know where you sit. Now before people are adjusting themselves. And Pastor, okay, wait. Nofia. Pastor, come and sit here. You have disorganized me already. You see, my mind will start going on the way you are treating me instead of my scriptures. Instead of meditating on my scriptures, the way you have received me and you have treated me, and you have disorganized me. Then I'll be sitting, then waiting, and then whilst I'm seated, one song, two song, this MC where this one coming, and jokers are on the stage. Jokers! You come to see him and see whether you see one joker on the platform. You joke once, you'll be warned. You joke twice, you won't come on the stage again. Here, this platform here. You joke one, you tell her, hey, today your joke was too much. You have to be careful. You joke another time, you won't come again. You won't hold that mic again. When you stand on stage, you must be serious, straight to the point. Now, people are doing so many things. So by the time I come to the platform, I'm already sleepy or tired because so many activities. The service is not organized. Service is organized. And some of this is, if they don't tell you, you know. Unless you are told. Unless you are told, you know. Get two people. Can't you find two people? And then maybe if the pastor wants to drink water, then you find somebody coming. And then, pastor, you are thirsty. And then he can. Open with his hand. With your hand. You are giving me water with your hand. Do I know what your hands are going to do? Whatever. And where I'm supposed to put the water on my mouth, you have used your hand to rub there. So I don't know where your hands has been to. Oh, what a shock. Churches, pastors, listen to me. You must never, ever use your hand to open water to anybody. It's unhygienic. It's not accepted. Your hand. No, you have to use a tissue. You have to use a tissue to open the water. And can't you find a tray? Can't you find a tray? Can't you have a young lady to bring water in a tray to serve the pastor? Why is that some young guy? One time I went to preach in a certain church. And then once I was in stage then, I said to him, I'm wearing some blouse. Looks like a cardigan with cloth and chalewate. Then she came, she was a fat one. She came, blong, 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 blong. And then came to, and then she came and put my water on the stage and then used her hand to open it and left it. I said, pastor, I'm not drinking this water. And please, don't allow this woman to serve me anymore. My protocol person is there. Give the water to the person. Let him bring the water to me. First of all, she was not dressed. Who is this? Who was dressed shabbily? She had played down the meetings. First of all, if she hasn't got a decent dress, then find somebody to wear a normal decent dress. I don't say go and wear a suit or something. And then more so to let her present the thing. She came, she brought the water with her bare hand, opened it, no tissue, nothing. And then she walked, and then she went and collected more water and gave it to all our visitors one by one. What's this? We need one or two ladies have an ice chest at one corner, somebody monitoring, and the person brings a tray and serve the passes as requested. As requested. I went to another church. Before I got there, my water has been poured in the glass and with a glass cover on it. Before I arrived. Then the pastor said, pastor, just in case you need water, that's your water there for you. I said, hey, that's my water. I need the thing to be open in front of me. Observe these things as pastors and then within your look at as a service. That's I'm talking about when the service is running. Amen? Amen. Then also you have to find out the way communions are served at headquarters. How do we serve our communion? Maybe you're just taking the communion in some silver and then the wine in a certain plastic cup, you know, and then you the person, okay, everybody come for communion. This is your communion. This is your wine. This is your bread. Okay, go. Another person. Something you have devised. You have to find out the way the headquarters does it. And then look for the material and try to do the same thing in your church. So that if we should come and then we meet a communion service, maybe our visiting has met the communion service, then we know that this is the way it's been done, and therefore we are giving it the same approach because you have copied from headquarters the way it's been done. And therefore, I will suggest that at a certain period within the year, all branches should select a group of people to come to headquarters for basic training in all these things, because we want you to do the same thing in your branch. Oh, did I hear somebody responding to that? Basic, someone said basic training. basic. We will sit the people that lecture them, show them basic protocol ethics. The way it's being done. The way communion is being done. The way they should do it. The way they should receive a man of God. The way they should serve a man of God. Basic training. Maybe a day or two at headquarters here. Then they go back to their various branches. Is it a good thing? Yeah. I thought you should clap for that. We also want to emphasize on financial integrity as a church. 1st of all, it doesn't really matter how much is coming in. You must set up a basic system of the way monies are handled in your church. When the offerings are taken, don't say that, well, take all the offerings into my room and then tie it up and lock my door and bring the key to me. Why? Why should we take the church offering and send it to your room? Lay people in the church must be part of the offering. And I will suggest that no pastor should authorize money to be taken to his room. And then you and your wife are counting the money. You and your wife can't count the money. You and your wife can't count church money. It's wrong. It's not done in CMA. The money must be counted by lay people. Trusted lay people. Any offering that is being collected in any area, in deaconry, whatever it is, the head deacon should not be the one who is, must be responsible for the money itself. No. Leave it for lay people. The least you can do is to authorize what you want the money to be done. I think we must get a carpet. I think we must get a speaker. I think we must get a microphone. Then they will put their heads together and then issue a check and go and get that thing. But you can't say that, well, how many came in? Okay, Tron Ghana City. We don't have water in my house, and I don't have milk and Milo. So can you give us 100 Ghana cedis from the offering? Please do it now. No. It was our anointing that brought the money. Do it now. And then how much is left? 320. Okay. My daughter says she's going to school, so take that 20 Ghana cedi and give it to her. And then how much is left? To 20 Ghana cedi. Okay. Last time when I was riding my bicycle, the tire was having some problem. So take 50 Ghana cedi from it. And then how much is left? 150 Ghana cedi. Last time when I was preaching, my shoe, I don't know what happened to my shoe. So you put 50 Ghana cedi in an envelope. I have to go to the market and buy something. And then how much is left? 100 Ghana cedi. Okay, you go and give it to the accountant. So after you have done disbursement, you have no right to disburse anything as a pastor. You have no right to disburse anything on your own as a pastor. It is not done here in CEM. And I don't care who called you, who poured on you. You can't do that here. If Pastor Steve called you, then I'll tell you what he wants. If he called into ministry and I'll do you and poured on you, this is the way we do it. If Pastor Steve picked a checkbook of the church, the checkbook of this church, and sign it now, it will go through. We have 9 banks that we operate with. If we sign none of it will go through. He's the general overseer. We honor him, we respect him, we give him a high office. We all respect him, we honor him as our pastor and our general overseer. If he takes the church's checkbook and sign it, won't go through. But if you should take a checkbook and you sign as a pastor and it goes through, you have a problem. It shouldn't go through. Otherwise, the church money will finish. Anytime you need, you write a check. You must sign as a pastor, and another lay person must oversee what you are signing. And you must also be accountable to what you are buying. Am I okay with what I'm talking about? I don't know what you do there, but you can't take a checkbook as a pastor and put everything into the account and then I'll come and tell you what we should do. You come and tell us what you should do. Here in headquarters, Pastor Steve, don't tell us what we should do. We sit down and decide what we should do together with him. And here, when you take money and give to somebody, the paymaster is here. They will bring you a form to fill. You sign and put your signature on it, in authenticating that you allow us to give this lady 20 Ghana cedi. There has been no day that we have closed church that the Jehovah's Witness said, "Give me 100 Ghana cedi from the offering. I want to bless somebody." If he takes the money and gives somebody, we'll bring him papers to sign. He's the overseer. So what? He's accountable to the, it's people's money. It's not your money. Hey, are you okay? It's not your money. So you have no right as deacons, as pastors, as whatever you come from, and then you are, when we receive the offering from the people, then you, the head, you are dispersing on your own. And with whose support? And with whose authorization? Well, it's, I'm the general overseer, so I do what I like. No, you are fired from that spirit. You are fired from that attitude. You didn't say in Jesus' name. And we want to order all other people in charge of finance. If your general overseer in your branch is misbehaving the finance, report your pastor to us immediately, and we'll call him to book. So we don't do it like that. Yeah. Anytime you want to disperse any money, it has to be in consent with the others together. A general decision. That's the way we do it here. Other churches do it differently, but this is the way we do it here. Hey, I don't like the way the place is quiet. If your overseer is in that practice, you must stop immediately. First of all, you must be out of the money. Because if you don't, and you buy a suit, you buy a bicycle, you buy a motor, they will say it is the church's money. That's what they will tell you. If you don't, they say it is the church's money. If they see your wife wear a lace, you are in trouble. That is the church's money. Because anytime we take offering, it goes to your house, it goes to your account, everything. We don't know what is happening. Even if it's 100 Ghana cedi, let it be with the people. Take yourself out of the money. Anytime you want to take it, we have received several cases in what is here with pastors having all kinds of direction for money. That's why I'm sharing this openly to the general public. Pastors that in CEM, look, we have various vernacular service on this compound. You can ask them, some of them are here. They take offering and things. When they bring it, we put it in their account. When they need money, they request. They request, form is filled and check is written. And people, when monies are given to you, you have to really come out systematically how the money was used. You can't say that, well, we are traveling to Sister Joyce's mother's funeral, and as a pastor, I'm going with my other pastors. Therefore, we may need about 300 Ghana cedi for various expenses. So, accountant, please, can you make the money available? We are going for funeral. The place is at Ketekrachi. It's far, or maybe Ho or Howe or somewhere. Then they give you the 300 Ghana cedi. Then, well, I'm the overseer and I'm the one leading the delegation, so it will be with me. Then when you go on this trip, you are the one spending. Buy cookie, buy this day. Sometimes you do things, you get some phone cards, you buy this, everything. And then when you come back, well, when we went to the funeral, there were various things for us to spend, so the money got finished. And where is the statement? Where is the disbursement paper? Here in CEA, me, Deputy General Overseer of this church, Reverend Stanley Atakuma Kofi, me, when I'm going on scouting, Keto is there, will tell you that my accounts office are there. They'll give you like maybe 500 Ghana City or 1,000 Ghana City. I'm going for scouting in the north. When I come, I break down. Break down me. Deputy. Started the ministry with my brother. I'm accountable to people like Keto. Keto. I have to come and account. I'm telling you the truth. You come back from a trip. You have no accountability. You, just that. You have come back. That's it. So what happened to the money? Oh, we use it. For what? Oh, we use it. Oh, so what did you buy? I'm the general overseer. I said we have used it. No, it's not done here. Can't do that. Can't do that. Every penny must be accountable. And if you have the opportunity of having receipt, get receipt. If the person can't sign, let them write some certificate of authority. Pastor Elisha is telling you, there's no trip anywhere in this country that he goes, we give you money, that doesn't come with accountability. And if you find out that you are stealing, that is your end of the, that's the end of you in the ministry. You are sacked from the church. You're not suspended though, sacked, because you are a thief. And there are thieves in the church. Stealers. Stealers. I'm not quoting scripture. I'm telling you practical things. Stealers. You must, the moment you are going for a funeral or an outing on behalf of the church, they give you money, take a paper. First of all, look for requisition of, what's it called? Requisition form. And you take an envelope, you wrap the requisition form on the money. And the moment you start spending, you start writing. Start writing. All the crusades you have attended, I can tell you, 1990, whatever, if you ask Elisha, he will bring you the file. And every money we spend is all breakdown. To coconut. Pure water, oranges, everything that we have spent, hotel bill there. You can't even look at the you can't even look at the accounts. It's there. With receipts, bulk. So how are you running yours? How are you running yours? There's one thing about CEM here. We don't worry you with money. We don't say that. We don't worry. We don't look at your accounts. We don't trouble you. Bring this. No, no, no. We don't do that. But you must be accountable to the church. You break down. You write everything. That's the way it's been done here. Yeah. I don't care whether you have 10 branches, 5 branches, 2 branches, 15 branches. You must be accountable to the church. Remove yourself from money. If you have to give something to anybody, it must be to the with the consent of others. Your cousin can come and sing in the church after singing. Where my cousin, mum pes kabi mano wa. Then your brother come to play the organ. Mum pes kabi mano. Then you are giving money to your family members. You have to tell them officially. She has come to do this, and so shall we bless the person? Let the suggestion be together. I think we should. Sometimes when people come to preach here, Reverend Steve Jerome Vassia will ask, how much honorarium should we give to this man of God? The accounts people are here. They'll tell you. We'll ask, how much should we give him? Then the accounts office will decide, Pastor, let's give him maybe $2,000. So is that what you think? They say, yes, okay. It's done. Many a times. Accountability. So let the system of financial disbursement be very transparent. Be very transparent as a branch. Because sometimes the misuse of money siphon the financial income of the church. Because when the money comes in, because of the way it's being misused, the church is not blessed financially. I will say something here. And sometimes you have the right to ask Pastor Steve, Reverend Steve Mensah, if we give him money to go and do anything, the moment he comes, he is accountable to us. Because of respect, I will go and collect all the breakdown from him. I will give it to the accounts office. that Reverend Steve, this is his breakdown. Or his secretary, Maoli, will bring all the breakdown to the office. Never will he take money, go somewhere, spend it. When he comes, say, well, I'm the general overseer, I'm the founder of the church, and I've spent the money. There's nothing like that in this church. And the same thing too must go to the branches. Are we okay here? And look, every branch must look for financial committee. Finance committee people who must be taking decisions on finance. The pastor must not be the final authorization of the way money is disbursed. No, you are not the final authority. Because the church doesn't belong to you. Please, the church doesn't belong to any pastor here. The church belongs to God. And the money is public funds. Didn't come from your cousin and your mother and your father. And you said, well, these are my family monies. Came from the public. Therefore, it must be disbursed appropriately. Am I communicating to you? Yes. And then if you have an idea where certain specific things must be bought, you have to call your finance committee members and discuss it. After discussing it and it's accepted, then you authorize it as the overseer of the church. First of all, I think our microphones are bad, our speakers is not good. The stage, we need to repair the stage. And we have gotten some estimate, and all will cost us about 500 Ghana cedi. So I think we have to find out from the accountant. How much do we have? The accountant said we have 1,000 Ghana cedi. Okay, I'm authorizing that because these are basic needs that must enhance the growth of the church. Let me authorize it so that this money be released. And the moment this money is released, receipts are all back in it. If you have a pastor who's not accountable, the money is counted in his house, he doesn't follow instructions, he doesn't regard the committee members, please report that pastor to headquarters. Report the pastor to headquarters. Because this can land him into trouble where he is. Can land him into trouble. Because it's public funds. This church is about 20-something years. I don't remember the last time that money was counted in Pastor Steve's house. Or put in his account. No, it's not done. You must have about 4 signatories to the account. I went to a certain church, one of our branches, and then when we finished, and I was talking to the leaders of the church, then he said, well, all our money is being kept in this sister's account. She has an account, and therefore we have used one of her accounts to put our money. I said, what? You have used the church's money to put into a sister's account? So she's like, is he accountant? He said, no, he's just a very good person. So we have kept all the money into her account. I said, are there no banks in this city? Oh, Pastor, there are banks, but we trust her. No, it's wrong. I said, my sister, Kaba, remove the money from your account. There and there, I said, Kaba, remove the money from your account and open an account. Even before I leave this city, remove the money and open an account immediately. What practice is this? What practice is this? Because the sister is nice, we have all put the money into her account. Kaba! It means immediately. So, deacons, other committee members and things, don't be putting public funds into private accounts. Don't be putting, oh, she's nice. This woman there, we trust her. She's very good. We can trust her. We've seen trusted people before. That has bounced. Telling you. It's not that we trust. It's not even correct. It's not healthy. It's not appropriate. That we should contribute money and put into a personal private account. Somebody's private account. Come to the church. The church has over, I don't know how many accounts. Plenty. They'll give you one. Amen. A case was reported to headquarters that a pastor, when they finish the service, then he would dictate, I want this to be paid. I want my children's school fees. I want it. We called the pastor. He said, come here. We sat down. Big round circle. Kaba, sit down. I was the one who chaired the committee. I said, we have heard that whenever monies are received, then you dictate that Sunday, that very Sunday, how the money should be disbursed. The money hasn't gone to the account. The money hasn't gone to the account. Then you said we should pay this, my taxi fare, my children's school fees, my this, my that. Says with immediate effect, that thing is seized. And you ask this pastor, what right have you got to dictate how the money should be used personally? No, you can't do that. So you are the boss with several income from the church, and you are dictating how the money should be done. Nobody has a say. Nobody has say. Nobody, all the people are Nobody can oppose. Nobody can say anything. You are the leader. You are the one who is dictating. My mother is very sick. I want 200 Ghana cedis to be sent to her immediately. Kaba. And then my son to niece, Kaba Naifma. And then you are just sending them. No, you can't do that. You must always be in consultation with your finance members to take a decision to buy something for the church. Don't come and authorize. Because the money doesn't belong to you. You're a branch. Behave like headquarters. Are we okay? We are finishing very soon. Now, you must also learn to do quality things. Quality things. We have seen a few of our branches, and you could see that they are carrying the spirit of headquarters. Quality things. They do things well. Look, you as a person, you may have your ideas about the way things should be done as a person. But this is church. So when you are in your room, you can say that, well, I want my curtains to be this. I want to choose this color. I want it to be done like this. And I want to be like that. That's no problem. But when you come to church, you can't use your personal ego to decide how the church should be like. As for me, I like green lace. So I want it to be green here. And then my wife also loves blue. So combined with blue. And then my children today be talking about red. So this, the whole thing is becoming personal. You must have people that must also share ideas. What carpet we are choosing. How we are designing the church. How we are doing it. People, put your own ideologies and your ideas and the way you do things aside and listen to people. Because some are designers, some have been to school, some have done other things that can help you as a pastor. Amen? And don't make yourself in such a way that people can't approach you and talk to you. Where do you come from? People can't approach you and even suggest anything to you because you are a difficult pastor. They've tried it and the answer wasn't easy at all. They tried bring some suggestion and you were wild. They can't give you ideas. They can't talk to you. The way you are some way. And if you are some way, I wonder who called you. A pastor that cannot be approached to be talked to or to suggest. I wonder who called you, because sometimes the people who are passing our churches, maybe you are not supposed to be a pastor over that church. There are some pastors who are not called. Oh, for that one, let me say it, cry. So my first pastor, when I look at them, I realize that you are not called. Okay. You can't be an overseer of a church. Me, I can't be an overseer of a church. My chemical makeup and the way I was born, I cannot head a church. I can assist for a church to run. So I'm an assistant. And God told me about that. And he said, and to assist is also a calling. And every calling has its own blessing. So for all you know, you are an assistant. And you have forced yourself to open the church. No, you're supposed to be an assistant. Assistant is a calling. You see people, overseer, I want that title. I saw my father come to that call. If I'm not called overseer, then this world will not come to an end. So you have forced yourself to open a church. You're not supposed, that's why you are some way. You see, your temperament and your behavioral characteristics is such that you can't have that, you can't head the church. Now that you have started a church, you see, people can't talk to you. People can't approach you. You lose your temper. You are slapping people. That is why God didn't call you to head a church. By the virtue of the messages that Pastor Mike preached, he can't head a church. Because he's an apostolic revivalist. Can he keep reviving the church all the time? If you look at the line of his messages, he can't run a church. But if someone who can hop from one country to the other, revival, conducting deliverance, casting out devil, that's the way he is. And very soon they will anoint him as an apostle of this ministry, traveling all over. Yes, that's the way he is. That's where Pastor Mike is. He fire and command the demons to go now. Kaba. If you say Akotobanfo, he's the most finest teacher. We don't joke with him at all. He's the teacher. His chemical makeup is that he's a teacher. He's the teacher of the church to explain doctrines. We want Pastor Mike to come and teach on first fruit. First fruit. And then he called me in the middle of the night. He said, Pastor Stanley, are you there? I said, I'm there. Pastor Steve said, I should teach on first fruit. It's not my area. Me, I don't have scriptures for first fruit. I have scriptures for demons. So, I said, who do you suggest? I said, let's look for Akotobanfo. He's a researcher. He'll go and research and bring her. And literally, we took the teaching away from and we gave it to Akotobanfo. And he bisected the teaching and blew the whole church into pieces. You see? God don't give. He don't give. He don't give. So are you a pastor? Are you a general overseer? Maybe you are not. You are an assistant. Oh. Crap. If you have discovered that you are not supposed to head the church, kaba the guafma. You have to be called. Because in that call is your breakthrough, is your sorrow, is your success, is your frustration, is your blessing. Everything that the Lord wants for you is in the call. Your sorrow, your pain, and your chemical makeup is that you can't handle pain. Because when you are angry, you throw your hands. Yeah. So you have to examine yourself whether I have been called into this office. My job is to stand behind my twin brother to ensure that the vision is fulfilled. That is my calling. Maybe once a while I preach here, I preach there, I preach there, but my ultimate call is to stand. That was how I was born. That's why I came first and I came second. No struggle. I don't struggle. And by the grace of God, I'm happy. I don't struggle at all. He will pick a phone, call me, this, that, and it is done. It's this, I'm running with it. That's my call. I feel comfortable with that. If you ask me to come and head the whole church, I'll start today, I will lose my temper, I will shout, I will do something. I'm not called. So you too, you have to be careful whether you have been called. Otherwise, the struggle will be like forever. You You struggle because in ministry, you have to struggle to a point. Then the Holy Ghost takes over and blesses the church without your effort. But when you are not called, it becomes by might. I'm a force. That's why people can't appreciate you. They can't rally around you because you are not sweet. You are not a sweet person. You are not homely. You are not nice. You get frustrated. You're always some way. People can't approach you. They see that they want to. Can we go and talk to our pastor about the stage? And who will go? Is it you? They say, oh, but you, me, I should go. I can't go. You should go. When you have members contemplating, I should go, you should go, then you're a wrong pastor. Say, why can't they come to you? Why can't they come to you? Why can't they come to you? Who are you? You are not my human being. They must be, but because of your temperament, the way you are, people can approach you. And people have resigned from certain positions because of you. They have left position because of the way you are. And they didn't tell, we just want to just stay at the back and just be normal. Is they are lying because of you. They don't really like you. Because you are some way. You are a difficult person. You lose your temper easily. You don't have patience. You are very authoritative. You don't have patience with anybody. You are always shouting. You are some way. They don't find it a joy coming around you. Anytime you are coming, Pastor is coming. Pastor is coming. Pastor, I'm checking something here and coming. Because they know that once you have come, there'll be trouble here. What I'm talking about is a very serious thing. Serious thing. When you're a pastor of a branch, the people must love you. Anytime they see our pastor is coming, oh, there must be joy. They must stand up for you. They must honor you. And when you see that you are talking, you talk nicely, they listen to you. And some things that the church needs that you have not authorized, they bring it willingly to the church. To the church. They have it. They don't want to give it to you because you're a hard man. They have it. They can do it. But because of the way you are, they don't want to give it. They want to stay quiet and observe things the way you should go. Amen. So you must do quality things, nice things, anything that must be done. Look, you must get nice chairs. You must have side tables. You must get new podium. Are you going to introduce the new podium to the branches? I think there's a design that is going to be introduced to all branch pastors. And you must ensure that things, look, put your own ideas and the way you do things aside and look at public. This is church and this is public. So let's see what can be done best for the church, not what my ideas are. And sometimes allow the people to just do things themselves and you see what they'll come out with. Am I saying something here? And sometimes when we are trying to do a few things where maybe we are putting lists and things, please, you know that, hey, this church, we have to do quality. So when a lady brings a certain list to cover the podium and the list have holes and things, Pastor, remove it from there. Because this list that Auntie Yah has brought, this is an embarrassment to the church. But because she's your good friend and you eat in her house, you are allowing the thing to hang. Meanwhile, the thing have holes. Can't do quality things. Amen. Amen. Last one. Then I'll be giving room for questioning. Come on, say praise the Lord. You must also learn to buy things that will enhance efficiency, proper, like the things that may enhance the church. You must always be traveling, looking for things for the church. You must always be looking for things for the church. Offering baskets, towels, napkins, glasses, you know, things for the church that brings beauty. Don't be using some old broken cup and old things, like old plastic cup, and then anytime they need glass, be buying things. Use church money to be buying things for the church all the time. That every time they want to use anything for the church, they are using something that is very quality. And if your wife is very much with you and has vision, let her front all these things. As a wife in a village pastor, let your wife lead the people and be buying nice things that look beautiful. Amen. And even your front, your chest in front of it, it just changed it. Sometimes, well, I think when I went to Cape Coast to go and preach there, and I sat down and I saw the way the people were moving up and down, and I said, yeah, this man is with the spirits. I can see a few traces of headquarters abilities here. I can see the way they're singing and the way, you know. That is why every year you have to bring your people, and when they come, ask them to open their eyes. Open your eyes, observe things. And then please, if you have a cousin, a brother who doesn't sing well, because it's your cousin, even why he doesn't sing well. And then, Kweku, do it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because this boy is not good. But because he's your cousin, you want to know. It's no quality. Sack him from there. Kappa. It's not good. Your wife is the one that leads the worship. But your wife is not good. The pastor's wife who leads the song, she's not good. She's not good. So what? Kappa. Change her. The JSS girl called Fatima, she's the one who is good. And your wife, Coco, she wants to lead the worship. It's not quality. Oh, you're the one playing organ. You want your fiance to sing. She's not good. Every time she sings a song, she goes off key. This is not, excuse my language, this is not family business. It's not family business. We have not given our wives certain positions that because we want them to be there. It's by divine calling that they heard what they are heading. My wife, it took her 20 something years before she started having something to do in the church. 20 something years. I said, you have a gift? Sit down. Are you gifted? Sit by me. I am gifted. I can preach. I can sing. I can do projects. I can run around. What can you do? Not yet. Sit by me. Kappa. Pastor, since we are twins, I realized that my wife is not doing it. So in order for me to showcase my strength, I wanted to do something. No. Nothing like that. Over 22 years, nothing, sitting. It was just recent that she's doing one or two departments. Now, just recent. And you, your wife, is a stranger. Your son is this. It's not a family business. Don't put your cousins and wives and things in position. So when we come to church, you are all speaking every. The whole thing has become, so the whole church has become a great spirit, because it's become a family. Your sister, your cousin, your family. Please. What a shock. Kappa. Sack them from. Let people be involved in the church. This alone can drive the people away. You want to force your wife into ministry. Is she gifted? Is she called? If she's not called, she should sit down. Kaba. your aunt have come. Auntie, Majita Panasia. Majita Panau. I'm the general overseer of this church. Majita Panau. What kind of nonsense is that? Because your aunt have joined the church, you are the general overseer, therefore you will find her a position. Is she called? Does she have a calling? She doesn't. She doesn't have a calling. You can run the church and your children and your wife have nothing to do with the church. And the church is normal. Accept it like that. Your wife, your cousin, they have nothing. They are not gifted. So let them sit down and let the gifted people run the church. Oh, are we saying something here? That is, it's as a result of some of these practices that church, some of the branches are not growing. They're not growing. Financial controllers, family business. We don't know what is going on. People are tired of the church, so they have left. Because of the way you do your things. You must have an open ministry. Involve lay people. Let gifted people run the ministry and do things with quality, and let there be discipline and decency. Honoring people, and they must be able to organize it. Look, if you are a pastor and leaders are leaving you, you have to be very careful. Because leaders want to stay with the overseer for the vision to be success. And if you find that your leaders are all leaving you, check it. Something is wrong somewhere. They are not telling you the truth. Pastor Steve, my twin brother, General Vasia, he will look the moment his phone comes, then I'll tell my wife, Steve, it's okay, Mikoda. It means you haven't finished now. Go to talk, check on what do you think? That's why I don't play with my twin brother. He's a very, very open person. Check and talk. What do you think about this person? What do you think? Just dialogue. As for you, everything's in your head. When you come, you give it to the people, and then you go away. Everything's in your head. You are some way. They see you weird. So when they can't stand it, they want to leave. As your leader, they don't want to associate with you as your leader. Amen? And I believe that with this attitude, you must have a very successful ministry. God bless all of you.